Hello, this is Magnus Carter. Welcome to the Southwest Business News Report. Previously, we've reported on bank lending for business and alternative private sources of business funding. In this edition, we look at public funds for business. In pursuit of that coalition mantra of localism, we now have local enterprise partnerships, LEPs or LEPs, in place of the old RDAs. But just how well are they working? How helpful to business in practical terms is the localism agenda? And how accessible in reality are public funds to drive business growth? Christopher Slade has been getting the views of business people at an event in Plymouth. How much do they even know about what funds are available?
I'm at an event called Regional Funding for Business, hosted by the Institute of Directors. And I'm curious to discover what exactly regional funding is, how much is there, and how does business ask for it? Isn't the red tape and the process just too difficult to get through? And is the South West able to speak with one business voice? After all, Bristol and Barnstable are very different places indeed.
Carlene Kellerman, Chairman, Institute of Directors, Devon and Cornwall.
And how are your membership feeling at the moment about regional funding? Because there is a lot of misery about it, isn't there?
I think that the membership is generally feeling quite robust about the economic conditions generally. Many of my members are in the age category over 40, and many ran businesses during the 90s and learnt lessons from that. What we're all getting used to is the longevity of these recessive conditions, but now they're looking really positive to the future, and therefore when they want to take that risk to enter new markets, they're looking to regional funding to share the risk with them.
And do you think it's clear enough where people can get funding and how they can get it?
Absolutely not. If I was going into my supermarket today and shop for regional funding, I wouldn't know which shelf to look at.
Nigel Godefroy, Longhouse.
And why are you here at this debate about regional funding?
Well, of course, what makes the economy spin down in the West Country is funding. Funding's difficult at this moment, particularly when it comes to banking. And it's always good to see what other opportunities are out and about.
Do you think it's a complete nightmare? People outside this think it's so difficult to get funding and they don't find the banks are helping and the complexities and the red tape are too difficult.
Well, I think it's absolutely right. To get hold of bank funding these days is very, very difficult indeed. I think the banks want to lend, but their criteria is very, very difficult to meet. Therefore, for organisations, sometimes better get other sources of funding rather than banks.
It's Deborah Heather and I come from Dartington Hall. We're looking to see whether we can get some funding to open an apprentice-run hotel. So really wanted to find out more about it and see what the opportunities are for us.
Do you think getting funding for something like that is a bit of a nightmare?
It can be. It's so complex.
Have you tried before?
No. To be honest, it's a new project, so we're absolutely open to any opportunities at the moment.
You're hopeful, eh?
Absolutely.
John Hutchings. I'm from the Plymouth University and Western Morning News Growth Fund.
And why are you at this debate about regional funding?
It's quite relevant to the job I'm doing, so come along and see what else is going on. It can be a challenge.
What are the challenges, would you say?
Making sure you've got the right business case, making sure you're well prepared, and that you're looking to employ new people. I think that's the major challenges.
Stephen Hudson, I'm the partner responsible for managing Garden Coast Solicitors, a medium-sized firm of solicitors based in the centre of Plymouth. I'm interested to know what's happening with the funding for lending scheme primarily. I guess that most of the people in the room have been able to get the funding they need to do what they need to do. But I'm more interested in the wider economy and whether the funding for lending scheme is working properly. My guess is it's not working at all. I see no evidence at all of new funding getting out to small business, and if there are figures, then all I can say is that it must be going to support larger companies. I suspect also the numbers perhaps show that all debt is being recycled, but I don't see the new additional lending.
Do you think the LEPs are working?
I don't know what they do. I have no idea. I get very excited when I read reports in the Times and the national press about actually funding for lending now is going to become available through the leasing and hire purchase houses. When I talk to those, they've no knowledge of this kind of way of getting the money out to the market. So they don't know anything about it. It all seems to be smoke and mirrors to me.
John Berry, I'm Executive Director of Southwest Investment Group.
Now, do you think business is very confused about the processes and who they can apply to and the paperwork and the red tape? Isn't that something that all these organisations need to look at?
It is a bit confusing. There are a number of interventions, if you like, to make things work. And I'm really keen that actually at some point we must put together some sort of website or portal in which everybody can access information on all these schemes. But with a good bit of research, you can find out what's going on in the Southwest anyway.
Business is saying, lend us more money, and you hear the banks saying, we are lending money, and perhaps you feel you're lending money. There seems to be a bit of a gap between one message from one party and one from the other.
There is always a bit of perception between the funder and the fundee, as it were, that I guess one hears a lot of noise from people who have been turned down for finance, whatever. But also people will decide to approach a finance house in London rather than looking locally, because there is more opportunity to find suitable finance in London than locally.
So talk locally first, is that your message?
Absolutely, yeah, because there are schemes available for businesses, certainly on the lending side. There are less equity schemes in the Southwest. One has to operate on really on a national basis to get equity finance, either from the public sector or the private sector. But there are lending schemes that are available in the Southwest, which are well worth following up.
Anne-Marie Morris, Member of Parliament for Newton Abbott.
Now, you have a finger on the pulse in government and are an MP in a region which has a lot of small businesses in it. Isn't the way government is working and communicating with those businesses and funding them or not, isn't that going a bit wrong?
I think the challenge for us is to, as you rightly say, get that communication right, and it has to be at a regional level. And that's in part why we now have regional ambassadors. So I am an ambassador that I've been asked to represent and bring back feedback from the Southwest. And the fact that I've been appointed, it seems to me, pays tribute to recognition on the part of the government that we need to get that communication working better.
I mean, you have a particular interest in small businesses, don't you? Micro businesses, in fact. You've had one yourself. You must understand more than anybody the confusion, the disappointment, the complexity of trying to get money.
You are absolutely right. It is a very complicated mechanism to try to access money. And certainly the challenge with the websites is, while initially the idea was to try to simplify and consolidate, I think there began to be a recognition that that probably wasn't working. And that's why, moving forward, at least with the business bank, we will begin to put all the initiatives, if you like, in one place. But we need to go further than that. And what I need to do, and what other ambassadors like me need to do, is work with the LEPs locally, work with the county councils, and indeed with the district councils, so that the information is very much localised, and so the means of access is clear, well known, and there is a local point of contact. We have been through very difficult, challenging times. There is absolutely no question. But for me, looking at the numbers and talking to businesses in my area, there is generally beginning to be a mood of gentle optimism. We are now just at that tipping point and just about to begin to move upwards. And that, for me, is really good news.
Do you think it's the small businesses that are going to be generating growth?
Absolutely. The small businesses are going to be at the heart of this. And that is why I'm so passionate in ensuring that government does everything possible to ensure it is the micros and the smalls that get the help, because that's where the growth is going to come from.
Well, I've come outside the building where the debate was held and the last crumbs of croissant are being quietly swept away as people go off to their day jobs. The debate featured the Southwest MP with an interest in micro businesses, the local enterprise partnership and the Southwest Investment Group. And the far Southwest in particular seems to be full of small, medium and micro enterprises from where mainly growth will happen. But many of the people I've spoken to here would welcome more clarity, a clearer process, and certainly more funding. But on the other side, those who say they are lending, like the banks, are at best not getting heard. There seems to be a bit of a gap in the middle, at least. This is Christopher Slade for Southwest Business News in Plymouth.
You're listening to Southwest Business News Report. I'm Magnus Carter. I've been speaking to the Business Secretary, Vince Cable, and I put it to him that despite the political rhetoric,
Public funding to support business growth has dropped in real terms, and the coalition's supposed commitment to localism is just a sham.
No, it isn't. Over the years, councils have had less and less powers, and more decisions have been made centrally, and we certainly should be working to a position where local authorities have more control over their own revenue, their own investment decisions, and so on. And what we've done under this government is to begin to reverse this centralisation. We've struck city deals. There's one already up and running with Bristol. There are others that are in train for Plymouth and Swindon. And we negotiate effectively with the local enterprise partnerships, which are partnerships of local business and the local councils in those areas, things that they should be doing on their own to promote their own development.
Well, we'll come on to the powers that they may have in a moment, but just to challenge what you've said, Professor Robin Hamilton of at the University of the West of England says that the so-called Localism Act contains over 140 elements of additional centralisation. It should be called the Centralisation Act.
Well, I don't recognise that at all. I mean, the Localism Bill was basically saying to local councils, if you get a local plan agreed in your local area, that will take precedence in planning decisions. I'm not quite sure how that's a centralising measure, but there is difficulties, particularly in planning, where we do have to balance the wider national interest with local interest. And if you're talking about big investments in renewable energy or big railway projects, I think most people would feel it's the wider national interest that should count in relation to overwhelmingly local objections. And there has to be a balance and there has to be a democratic process.
In planning, maybe, but in that context, the local enterprise partnerships have their hands tied behind their backs. They themselves feel, don't they? They're trying to kickstart the local economy, but they're reliant on Whitehall handouts or the pathetic and unfunded support of emasculated local authorities.
Well, you're using quite emotional language, and I don't think
that's quite
fair.
Because people feel emotional about it. Yes. They do see that Whitehall is not divesting itself of power, despite all the political rhetoric.
Well, I think it is, and these local enterprise partnerships are actually doing, I mean, they've only been running for a couple of years, but are actually doing a lot, and a lot of very good work. Just to give one small example, we have this regional growth fund, which is designed to help development in parts of the UK that are not doing economically well. And one of the earliest projects we agreed was to help Plymouth via its university and the local council, amongst others, to disperse funding for local small enterprises. And the local newspaper played a role in advertising it. And this is not something we can direct and control from central government. We just trusted the local partners to get on and do it. And there are thousands of initiatives like that happening around the country, and it is much the best way to deal with local development.
So who really controls the cash and the assets that used to roll, albeit imperfectly, through the former Regional Development Agency?
Those were public sector bureaucracies, and we didn't think, frankly, they operated very efficiently. What happens now is that it's a combination of things. There is a regional growth fund that has to be bid for. There are these city deals, agreements that we're striking with big cities, and I said Bristol already has one up and running, and the local enterprise partnerships will increasingly have decision-making power over local transport and over local business services, and we're in the process of developing. It's an evolving system. It's not something where you decide one moment that the world has fundamentally changed, but we are doing what we can to shift what you quite rightly describe as an over-centralised system into reverse.
So what's your school report on the LEP so far then? Satisfactory progress? Could do better?
They're varied. Some of them are absolutely brilliant and innovative, and actually the West of England is one of the really good ones. Others are struggling to get off the ground. Most of them are now launched. It's variable, but it's a new system. The key is that they have proper business participation. That's something we haven't had before. That's not the way the old regional development agencies used to work. They were very remote. The whole of the southwest was run out of Bristol, whereas we now have a local enterprise partnership for Cornwall. The Cornwall LEP is very effective. It's very plugged into local business and community feeling, and it's a much better system.
Just on this question of local, though, Colin Skellett, the chair of Wessex Water and perhaps more pertinently the chair of the West of England LEP, has bemoaned what he calls the Stalinist tendencies of central control in many Whitehall departments. Is your department guilty of that?
Absolutely not. Indeed, we are actively promoting and supporting local enterprise partnerships, and indeed we want to do what we can to support this process of devolution. If it was left to me, to be frank, I mean, I would give local authorities much more freedom in terms of setting their own tax rates and borrowing, but of course we do have to take account of the fact that we've got a national financial crisis and we have to maintain some kind of discipline on the public sector as a whole. But I mean, ideally, that's the direction we should be going in.
In the Greater Bristol area, 335 applications are now being sifted for a share of the £25 million Regional Growth Fund being administered through the West of England LEP. The LEP's Chief Executive Paul Wilson says that result will also stimulate bank lending, as many applicants have been told they'll get matching funds from their bank if their application succeeds.
We expect about £100 million of private money to come in against the £25 million and it to create 1,300 jobs.
So the key to that then was working with local media.
Yeah, we've had a fantastic relationship. It's with the Bristol News and Media Group. And yeah, we said, it's your campaign, it's your area. Why don't we do a joint campaign, but actually really make you feel like you're in charge of it? And that's exactly what they've done. They've run a story a day for 3 months. It's because of them that we've got all this interest.
Because the LEPs, according to the Federation of Small Business, are at risk of failing because their administrative costs aren't properly funded by the government. You are, and I quote, over-reliant on grants from local councils and are failing to find significant private sector support. That's generally true, isn't it?
It's the case that most of our funding comes from either the local authorities or from national government. That is absolutely the case. But we have had an enormous amount of pro bono support from more than 700 businesses here in our LEP. So whilst they're not putting cash into the LEP, they are putting a huge amount of time and effort into trying to work out what's the best way to recover from recession.
So what do you think then are the keys to running a successful LEP? When we spoke to Vince Cable, the business secretary, he was very complimentary about you. He said you were an exemplar of good practice. So what is it that you do that perhaps others aren't?
I do think a lot comes down to actually who your chairman is. We're very fortunate to have a chairman in Colin Skellett who is well regarded and respected both in the public sector and in the private sector locally. So he's a well-known figure. He's the chair of Wessex Water, and his reputation actually adds a lot of credibility to the organisation. People want to work with him.
Do you agree with him when he accuses Whitehall of Stalinist tendencies, a desire to control everything and simply not allow LEPs and their local authority partners to get on with the job?
Was this Colin who said this?
It was Colin who said this.
What I like very much about working with Colin is that he is very direct and he cuts through an awful lot of process-y kind of language to get to the point, and that also helps us to achieve things. I think his directness is appreciated in all directions. A frank talking approach that's focused on results is definitely appreciated.
Because I think the point that he was getting at was his idea of localism, which is so dear to this government. And the point that he was making was that's all very well, but really, if you're saying that, you have to let us get on with it.
Yes, and all LEPs echoed around the country that we didn't think that we had done as well as we had been led to believe we were going to under the Heseltine Review this time round. But I believe, to my core, there is a sea change going on. We have had, just yesterday, a meeting with seven different government departments in the room, all at one meeting. We actually said, we're not going to have another meeting unless you all come together. About 2 months before, I said, OK, we will all show up on the same day to the same meeting and work together across departments. There is a lot more joined-up approach coming, and there's an enormous amount of energy through LEPs, particularly here, and our LEP is very energetic.
But you don't, for instance, have the funding that the old RDAs had, and that political decision to sweep away the RDAs was all well and good, but with it went a single one-stop shop source of budgets.
You're entirely right, and as well as budget, there was a lot of institutional know-how as well, which has been lost. What we got instead, that's popular in this part of the world, is an area that's focused on an economic participation area or go-to-work area of about 1 million people, where about 90% of the people who work here live here, and we're thinking and planning at that kind of size now. For us, it's actually really made sense, and it's helped build an already existing partnership between the four authorities here who are used to working together, and it's helped us cement that, and it's brought the voice of business up into that conversation.
Is there a bit of a missed opportunity here, though? In the absence of the much vaunted, much trailed regional banks, could there be a role for LEPs as kind of the portal to all public funding?
I'd agree with that. Well, in Lord Heseltine's report, he identified 149, I think it was, different funds, pots of public money that people could access. And his whole idea of creating HESA's single pot was to simplify that and then give that to LEPs to distribute. I think many people can see the sense in it. I think we're some way along that journey.
You mentioned this meeting you've had with the seven government departments. Are government departments beginning to listen to that argument? Do you get a feel that maybe the LEP system might be developed into something a little different, a little bigger, a little more important?
Well, it's gone from a sort of flaky big society idea of totally unformed to becoming a key part of economic policy for regeneration after a recession. The distance of travel in 2.5 years is actually very, very fast. And as the government has said, for those LEP areas that and LEPs that are working well, they'll be given more and given more money and given more responsibility. And those where it's not working will be given less.
Paul Wilson, Chief Executive of the West of England LEP. So, harnessing the power of local media, strong leadership, and a willingness of local authorities and business to work together, these are the things that can make LEPs a success. But more freedom from Whitehall, a bigger role as a portal for all public funding, and of course more funding, would all help. Ewan McClymont of Southwest Accountants Bishop Fleming has been helping clients with funding applications for over 15 years. He told Christopher Slade he's identified over 100 different grants and funds that are available to Southwest business. So how do businesses get access to that money?
Two ways, really. They can do a direct bid. It's a minimum bid of £1 million, so you're looking at very large projects. Or they can go in through what I call an umbrella fund, which is where a body such as a university or an LEP has actually applied on their behalf, and they've turned that into a smaller, more regional or localised fund. Good example is the Plymouth University and the Western Morning News Growth Fund. Further up the region, there's the Heart of England LEP Growth Fund. And then back down in Cornwall, they've got the Business Catalyst Fund. All those are examples of regional growth-derived money.
And is there an easy way for people to find out about this kind of thing, other than ours online? Is there a simple answer?
Well, Google's a wonderful mechanism, but it will take you a long time. And we're in a situation with the demise of the RDAs and the business links that sort of one-stop gateway is no longer there. My advice to people is to look online at the local LEP, because they all have good websites, and that's probably the first port of call of what's happening in your local area, as well as the councils, because the two are normally linked quite closely.
So the LEPs haven't replaced the RDAs, in your view?
No, I don't think the LEPs were ever meant to replace the RDAs. They're a completely different animal. They are structured differently, where it's a private and public partnership. The clue is in the title on local issues. And they've nowhere near the budgets that the RDAs ever had. They are there to help formulate strategy and to drive the agenda, but they're not there to dole out lots of money.
Now, the banks are taking a role in helping to distribute money, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I mean, what we're seeing in the demise of the RDAs is a new way of doing things. And if you'd asked me a couple of years ago that will banks be distributing grants, I would have said, well, not in my lifetime. But we do now see examples where quite a number of the big high street banks have applied for regional growth funding, and they are now distributing that grant funding in their asset assisted purchase scheme, which is primarily there to help businesses who need to purchase capital equipment. They can't raise or afford the deposit. The grant can plug that deposit, and then they take out a lease or a loan through the bank. So it's quite a radical departure.
It's a sort of win-win, isn't it?
It is a win-win, because you're dealing with your bank manager who knows your business, or hopefully knows your business, better than a public sector grant administrator. And they are actively working with you, hopefully, to get that piece of capital equipment that will create some jobs and help to grow your business, and that's good for the economy.
Just give me some examples, then, of the kind of funds that are out there.
If you start at the top, you've got a lot of national funds, like the Manufacturing Advice Service, UKTI, EDI, which is set up to give really, really good and practical export advice, and they have small grants. You've got R&D grants, there's the Smart Awards, which cover all of England, and you've got some more localised R&D funds that are now springing up as well. Bringing it further down at a localised level, the LEPs are applying for their own types of funding, usually through, as I said earlier, through the Regional Growth Fund. And then if you're in specific areas such as Cornwall, you've got European-derived funding, or in other assisted areas like Plymouth, which is a Tier 2 area, it is its own European criteria as well.
So in terms of sort of tips for people who want to try and apply, what are the main things you see that SMEs fail to do? What do they get wrong when they're applying for grants?
The devil's sometimes in the detail. I think it's, as well, it's easy to chase the pot of gold and lose sight of why you're actually trying to get that funding. So my advice is always look after number one. First and foremost, work out what you need to do for the business, what's right for the business. Secondly, then ask the question, is there a grant for this? And if there is, I would always advise having a very, very early meeting with that funding provider. Find out, does my project fit what they're looking for? Can I provide enough jobs that would give my application a decent chance of success? And then finally, if it's a more complex application, get some professional advice to help put it together. But if you have your house in order, if you've got good management information, if you know your market, and most of all, if you know your project and what you're trying to do and what the benefits are, if you can articulate all those things in a business plan, we're not talking about War and Peace, no more than 10, 20 pages maximum, with some sound financials, you'll stand a really good chance of getting that funding.
And for a final word of clarification on funds for business, we turn to Southwest Business News economist Nigel Jump of Strategic Economics. I put it to him that there exists a state of confusion about what money is available where.
It's nothing new that. It's been made a little bit worse in recent years by some of the changes. People wonder whether they should go to somebody like the Chamber of Commerce, or go to the local enterprise partnership, or go to other business organisations like the Federation of Small Businesses or the CBI. There are a number of people in the market, which, as an economist, obviously competition is a good thing, but it can be confusing, especially if you're an SME who hasn't got a lot of time to do the research.
So there could be still competition, but maybe some kind of clearinghouse, a one track to reach that advice, maybe a regional bank.
Yes, I've always been in favour of a regional bank idea. It was something that I was promoting about 5 or 6 years ago, as an institution that could have interests within the local area that would satisfy both people with money who wanted to invest and people without money who needed to borrow.
Is there too much centralised control, despite the supposed advent of localism? We've had the setup of the LEPs, but is that money, are the purse strings still really held by Whitehall too tightly?
In some ways they're held more tightly now than they used to be under the RDA system, because the pots of money are smaller and they're less in the control of the people who want to make the decisions. I think it's changing. I think over time they will get this back on track. Michael Heseltine has talked about reintroducing the single pot, which the RDAs used to have, and that would certainly help. At the moment, it's also to do with capacity. Most of the LEPs do not have the capacity to handle these big pots of money, and in most cases, I think they don't have the legal authority to do so anyway.
Is the LEP system, do you think, too patchy in quality and in size to be made to work at all?
My own view is that there probably are too many LEPs. There's about 39 of them altogether in England. I do think some of them are a bit too small and some of them are a bit too big, possibly. It would be interesting to see if we could, over time, allow the good ones to take over the less good ones, so to speak, and create natural boundaries. I mean, the problem for most of them is that they still follow very much the old administrative boundaries in England. They're not done on economic functionality in most cases, and that remains a key issue.
Nigel Jump. So once again, we found widespread support for the idea of a regional business bank, a theme we'll return to in subsequent reports. If you'd like to comment on this report, or if you have any suggestions for future reports, please get in touch via the Contact Us page on the website. This is Magnus Carter saying thanks for listening.